We're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
Listen up, partner. There's no exclusives, no premium content. There's no paywalls. Just a great podcast app for every y'all. Get it for free in the app store.
Y'all.
Ned! Holy shit, it's been a long fucking time. How are you?
It's been only a week. What are you talking about?
My brain is melting out of my ears. I'm having to dust the cobwebs off of my Hulu subscription in order to watch Desperate Housewives once more.
Really? You didn't dust them off to watch Fire Island?
Oh, you're right. I did watch Fire Island. Happy Pride. We just missed it.
Yay!
Oh.
Why would we ever release during Pride?
Yeah, that was actually an act of protest, okay? It's because we hate...
I feel like we should get it off. And we did.
We did. We took an early 2 months off, and then we took Pride off, and now we're back. Now we're back.
It's called a sabbatical.
It's called we're mentally unwell and we have jobs, but we love you all and we're back.
We love you and we're back and we are still mentally ill, but we have a schedule now.
Now we have a recording schedule. And I do feel like I've been saying for half a year, which is true, that we're close to the end of season 3.
I'm sorry. Everybody, I would like to say cancel us. I'm sorry it took so long for this to happen.
Oh. No, honestly, y'all were so great during our DMs, just giving us love and letting us know you'd be here when we're back, and here we are. And so you all were really great during this kind of unexpected break we ended up taking, and it was nice, and I'm excited to be back. I miss talking to you about this show. It's great. And I know that you all have missed this podcast, and it genuinely warms my heart how much this means to so many people. And it's just some us just fucking around. And it makes me happy, and I'm glad that it makes other people happy too.
It feels so good to be back. I don't know about you, but I just feel like I feel the warmth in my chest.
I love just hanging out with you and just like, I do. And pulling back the curtain, y'all, we sat down to record 2 hours ago and then we've just been hanging out for like 2 hours and watching like YouTube videos and being on Twitter together. And now we're here doing a podcast. The vibes are just immaculate, honestly.
They're great. It's a beautiful life.
It's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life. It's a great song. Should we? Yeah. I feel like I'm going to be rusty as fuck, but should we talk about Desperate Housewives?
Let's talk about Desperate Housewives, and hey, let's not put any preconceived notions on this. Let's just kind of let's stumble through the woods again. Let's pretend like this is our first time on episode 21 of season 3 of Desperate Housewives.
Like a virgin.
First time. Like a virgin.
Is that the Moulin Rouge version?
Yes.
I love that movie. Okay, we're going to get on too many tangents because we have been feral this morning.
We're going to hang out for another 2 hours.
Yeah, Betsy, everybody get ready for another two hours of us hanging out. While we talk about Desperate Housewives, season 3, episode 21. This episode premiered May 6th, 2007. It was written by Alexandra Cunningham and directed by David Grossman. For Sondheim Watch, Into the Woods is the name of this episode. Very obviously the musical Into the Woods, which is a great Sondheim musical. And speaking of Pride, in a very homophobic turn of events, Wikipedia used to have individual pages for all of the episodes, and that's where I pulled a lot of information from, of like trivia and including the international naming of the episode. And Wikipedia doesn't have that anymore.
No, they don't. We even checked the general Desperate Housewives Wikipedia.
I'll keep trying, but for now, Wisteria International is discontinued because of Wikipedia hates me, specifically. Hates me, so.
You shouldn't have. You should have donated when they were asking you for money.
Oh my god, I should have given them $5 and then they would have kept the fucking links. But that's all I got, and I think we gotta get our scuba suits on, baby.
You're getting a scuba suit on? I'm taking mine off. Okay. I'm being reborn in the water.
Okay. We're diving into the sodi?
We're diving in.
Splash.
It can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to old women. It can happen to your... Hey, it's happened to your reflection, probably.
Yes.
We open on a bunch of people kind of getting robbed or assaulted.
Anyone can be a victim. Can I tell you? I do love that the old woman had her purse stolen. Yes, scary. No bodily harm. The one guy got knocked out. Gonna have a bad headache. In general, he's fine. The third guy... got stabbed in the stomach. That man might be dead.
He is dead. I will say that right now. He is dead.
Did you notice that the guy who stabbed him, so he's like inside the store with him, and the guy stabs him, and then instead of just unlocking the door from the inside because he's inside, he busts the window and then leaves. I was like, dude, you're already inside. Whatever. Thought that was
little silly. He loves drama.
Like Susan. We'll get into it.
We're tying it all together already.
Wow. I mean, one might say we're geniuses, I think. We might possibly be genius people right now.
We are.
Absolutely.
We have degrees.
I'm having the time of my life. I want you to know it's been 5 minutes and I'm having the time of my goddamn life.
So am I.
Yeah, but you know what's more important than these people getting their lives ruined? What? Lynette and Rick are on a date.
Lynette and Rick are on a date, but they've been going on dates.
They have. Did you see what he was drinking?
Was it wine?
A lime diet coke, baby.
And I missed it?
You missed the lime diet coke? I think he's sober, so I think that's why he was drinking coke.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe I missed a staple of Desperate Housewives. Lesbian of the episode nominee, right off the bat.
Yes.
And I don't know how I can repent for this mistake that I made and not noticing the lime diet coke, but please let me know.
I only remembered because I wrote in all caps, lime diet coke, lime diet coke, he's drinking a lime diet coke in my notes, very very loud, so that I would remember to tell you.
See, in my notes I wrote Lynette, I just watched Transamerica for the first time last night, and she must be jailed for her voice performance.
You did watch Transamerica. We talked about that a bit before. Iconic Felicity Huffman performance.
Yes, if nobody knows what Transamerica is, it came out in 2004, I believe.
I think so, yeah, around that time.
And Felicity Huffman got nominated for an Academy Award.
Of course.
She plays a trans woman who has to take a road trip with her son, who, and like, he doesn't know like who she is to him, you know. It's a wild movie. Watch the trailer.
Felicity Huffman ends up getting a bunch of like money of royalties and being like, why did so many people watch Transamerica all of a sudden in the middle of this, like in the middle of the year?
Why did 3 billion people watch Transamerica?
All 3 billion of our listeners watched Transamerica this week.
At the same time.
Watch party. She gushes to Rick about how, oh my God, this dinner is so nice. It's the only thing that gets me through the day. And these two men walk in and hold up the store. And I know it gets acknowledged later, but I yelled in this moment, why wasn't the door locked? Why wasn't the door locked?
If it's like the end of the night and you forget to lock the door once, you know, I don't know if they...
I feel like when I was a server, the second the last person got out, I was locking that door faster than the speed of light so that nobody else would walk in and try to like get food after close. Because if anyone's been a server, I'm sure you can relate to that bullshit of people walking in like 1 minute to close and being like, ooh, woo. And so I would, if I could, I locked the door like 5 minutes early.
Can I... You're right. I'm like, what do I do
they
at my job?
No,
I
yeah. By
as
their
soon
lust.
As the last person. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's their fault.
It's yep.
I changed my mind.
And they basically get locked in the fucking walk-in freezer while the guys rob them, I guess. That's like yeah. low-key a nightmare for me. I like that Tom is a prophet. He's having prophetic visions as he sleeps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because like we get that monologue from Mary Alice about victims again and things like that. And then, yeah, we see Tom just having nightmares. He's falling through a portal.
Oh, and he wakes up and he finds Lynette is not home, which mm-hmm. he immediately is like, well, this is the big one. She cheated.
Yeah. And we cut to the freezer because we got a little bit of back and forth from Lynette and Rick of them being like, oh, I'm so cold. Ooh, and he starts
rubbing my nipples are so hard because I'm so cold.
My nipples are touching the wall.
Two feet long nipples just like stabbed into the wall. If I go in a circle, I can cut a hole out in the door. That's how sharp they are.
Because they're hard as diamonds. When they get cold, they get hard as diamonds.
It's like Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns on that glass, but it's Felicity Huffman with just rock hard nipples.
That I don't know any other way to explain this, but that phrase, that whole thing made my ears tingle. Like that was ASMR, but you were speaking normally. We cut to essentially Lynette and Rick cuddling in the morning for warmth.
Yeah.
Lynette is wide awake because she's horny.
She's horned up, absolutely. Well, his hand was so high up on her chest. I was like, is he touching tit right now? I really thought that man was touching tit.
The way they were just rubbing each other made me very uncomfortable.
Oh, and thank God Tom interrupted and was like, oh my God, Lynette, are you okay? And he gets really deflated when he sees Rick was also in there with her.
Yeah, because at first he goes, I was so worried about you. Are you okay? What happened? And then as soon as Lynette says, yeah, they locked us in the freezer, Tom's face drops and he goes, us?
Tom in this episode is the epitome of every time he was on screen, I was like, he's insane for this. Like every time he was on screen. But we don't see him being cuckoo yet because we see Vern.
We see Vern. Apparently, he's been on a gay cruise.
I love that. I wish I was on a gay cruise with Vern. Where's that spinoff? That's what I want to see.
A Turn with Vern.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Vern on a gay cruise. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mark Cherry. You're listening.
I mean, Women Who Kill just got canceled, so.
I did see that.
So, you know, write a Vern spinoff. Why not? I'm sure Alec Mappa's just hanging out. Probably call him back.
Yeah.
What if, because Women Who Kill got canceled, this is just conjecture, what if this means Mark Cherry's free for a Desperate Housewives return?
Do you want me to be honest with you
in this moment? Always.
I'm a little scared of that.
Oh, it would be so bad.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be like, and just like that. Like it would have to be like a limited series. It would have to be, yeah.
But, and just like that is getting another season.
Which is weird to me, but yes.
Yeah, it's not that I don't trust like Mark Cherry to like write a revamp or a reboot or anything. I don't trust media companies and what they'll like do to it.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think that it will be what it should. If it's made now.
But I'm just conjecturing.
It could happen and I would be here for it. I would start a full campaign for us to be in it.
It could happen to anyone. Anyone can be a victim of a Desperate Housewives reboot.
But back to Desperate Housewives again. Gabby and Vern are just kind of catching up. They just got done shopping. They're at Gabby's car, and there's a parking cop giving Gabby a ticket. And she goes, I'm leaving right now. I'm just saying bye to my friend. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be out of here. And he doesn't care.
She's so entitled.
She is.
It's a $40 ticket. Like, girl, you just bought, like, a $3,000 dress. I think you're fine. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, that cop, like...
Oh, no, he's totally being
a douchebag. He's being a douchebag.
Him calling her a bitch is completely inappropriate, and I fully agree with it. I wish she'd just been like, okay, whatever. I mean, I know there'd be no plot this episode if she didn't throw a fit about it, but I wish she was like, annoying, and then just paid it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, that's not Gabby.
Yeah.
No, him calling her a bitch, I was like, sir, I will cut your head off with a katana right now.
And then we go to Carlos. He's getting the paper out front, and Susan just runs up to him out of nowhere. She just is in the middle of the street, like full force sprinting towards him. And she goes, where's Mike?
Tell me where Mike is. Mike!
I didn't even mean to do that. That's just how my voice sounds.
You did, Batman. And Carlos says, bros before hoes, baby. I'm not telling you.
He literally says bros before hoes.
Fucking hilarious. Eventually, he does tell her that he's going off to the woods to have a think, and then he's going to move away. And Susan is upset. And so Susan immediately goes home and is like, I'm packing my bags. I'm going to the fucking woods. And Julie looks adorable. Julie looks like such a young woman now. Mm-hmm. It's stressing me out. We're only three seasons in, and she looks so grown up. She's blonde. And she's like, Mom, maybe this would be a bad idea because you don't know how to camp and don't know how to survive or be a human being. And Susan's like, I got this. And it's love, baby. And that's Susan has made her mind up.
I would love if Susan, like, got into, like, a weird cult. Like, she ran into, like, it turned into, like, a horror, like, Susan in the Woods episode. Yeah. Cabin in the Woods. She just finds, like, a group.
That would be amazing.
I want, like, a horror Desperate Housewives either story or game, or I want something.
You should make that, I think.
Maybe I will.
We get another little scene with Carlos and Travers. And I mostly wanted to start this out because I need to say the best part of this scene for me is when Travers acknowledges Evie's biceps.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? When he's like, get that bicep, Travers. And he's like, moms are better. And I went, damn right they are, Travers.
Travers also, they like make plans to go to some batting cages. And Travers is like, then we can see who can hit harder.
I love, they are like genuinely a cute little family unit in this scene. I was like, oh, they're very cute.
I also like the video game that they were playing. It was like Chicken Little Baseball All-Stars.
I think that existed, didn't it? That was like a real game, right? I know there was like a PlayStation 2 baseball game that I had that was, I think, was the similar to that game.
Yeah. That's a Chicken Little baseball game.
It's Chicken Little?
Yeah, it's Chicken Little. I knew it was Chicken Little. Because when he swings the bat, he's so little and he's got that big helmet. I was like, that's Chicken Little.
Oh my god, he's so cute.
Chicken Little is amazing.
I think that Rachel kind of looks like Chicken Little and she gets mad at me when I say that. But they have the same glasses.
They do have the same glasses. Hey, Chicken Little is a beautiful compliment.
I've never seen that movie. I need to watch Chicken Little.
You need to watch Chicken Little. Do you know what it's about? I mean, I assume
the sky is falling. And
can I give you a slight spoiler?
I don't know.
Do you want? I mean, it came out a while. It came out in 2005.
Spoilers for Chicken Little. Chicken Little.
Chicken Little.
I will watch Chicken Little soon.
Thank God. Please tell me when you watch Chicken Little.
I will. I will log it on my letterbox. Yes. Everyone, go. Eyes peeled to my letterbox for my Chicken Little review. So aside from the Chicken Little game, this family unit bonding over the love of a little chicken is interrupted because Travers's greasy ass looking dad shows up.
Yeah.
That man does not look like a doctor. I'll say it. He does not. Maybe I'm used to Grey's Anatomy. That man does not look like he would save my life. He looks like he works at a gas station and would stare at me creepy and be like, you with anybody? That's what he looks like.
He does.
That's also pulled from real life. There's a man at the gas station by my house who hits on me every time. And so I like to try to pull my card out with my engagement ring hand and be like, please leave me alone, sir. Yeah, he shows up and Carlos looks pretty heartbroken. The scene he has between Travers' dad, he's definitely trying to slyly ask for more Travers time.
There are tears in this man's eyes.
This man wants to be a dad so bad. He wants to be a dad. More than anything in the world, and he's losing it. It's all slipping away.
Always slipping away from him. Yeah. Do we ever learn Travers's dad's name?
I you know, part of me wants to say yes, but I definitely didn't clock it.
I just kind of called him Daddy.
That's it. That's his name, Daddy. Yeah, I think I just wrote, yeah, later I literally have the word dad is allergic to dogs. I have no idea. Yeah. Surely his name exists.
It has to.
According to Google and DesperateHousewives.fandom.com, Travers's dad is named Charles. But I do not remember hearing that name. So maybe we find that out later. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Or maybe we've heard it before.
Maybe. Hmm. You know, who knows?
Time not me. Is an illusion. We then cut to the manager's office of the pizzeria. Yeah, sure. I guess they're looking over the security footage of the robbery so they can try to ID the guys. And the cop who is there says, oh, this looks like a couple guys who've been hitting up a couple of diners in the area. Rewind a bit so I can try to see that guy's face again. And so they start rewinding. And then they keep rewinding. And then they accidentally keep rewinding. And they go, oh, it's too far, it's too far, it's too far. And when they press play, everybody gets to see the little date that Lynette and Rick were on.
And the cop points out what I thought earlier. Why wasn't the door locked?
Yeah.
And Tom is clocking it like he is a grandfather clock, baby. Mm-hmm. He is like, Also, did you notice that they mention another city? Mount Vernon is a city in Illinois. It's also in Tennessee. But it is adding to the lore of where the fuck is Fairview. But I had someone point out on our Patreon. We had a patron reach out because, you know, I'm kind of convinced it's in Illinois.
Yeah.
This patron raises a very good point. Why is there never snow if it's in Illinois? And we, as people who live in Chicago, know that there is a full, like, 4 months at least where we are blanketed in snow. And so that pokes quite a hole in the Illinois theory.
But here's the thing. You didn't grow up in Illinois.
That's true. I did not.
You weren't in Illinois in, like, the mid-2000s. The weather was different at one point here.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we actually used to have spring when I was a kid.
That's wild.
Yeah. And we used to get, like, snow in the winter. It's just, it's like, as I kept getting older, all of the winter and stuff just started shifting and getting longer.
Well, who knows? I just wanted to bring that up because it was what was brought to us via the Patreon. But you know what? I mean, I do think in terms of the cities they name, Chicago and Mount Vernon, there was another one. I feel like so far they are naming very distinctly Illinois cities. So just wanted to bring that up. It's another layer onto the cake.
I like that layer. That's something to chew on. I'll chew on that and I'll
chew on that layer of cake.
Yeah. I like that. Thank you to the person that brought that to our attention. We're gonna crack this code.
We're gonna crack this fucking code by the end of the series.
That's basically that scene. It's revealed that they are going on dates. After that, we then cut to Victor basically winning the mayoral election.
Hey, congrats, Victor. Ooh. The campaign manager's wife comes up to congratulate Gabby, and Gabby mentions the interaction she had with a meter maid, and the lady's like, oh, you don't have to do that anymore because you don't abide by the law anymore, which is an insane thing to say. But this woman says it nevertheless, and Gabby's immediately like, great, I'm above the law now. And that's kind of that scene.
Oh, I will note, just because it might come up later, in the beginning of this scene, Gabby, when they find out that Victor is going to win, she like jumps into his arms.
Oh, yes.
As like a celebration moment, she's just having fun, she's excited, and he kind of scolds her a little bit in front of his friends for it.
Weird, fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And then, after all of that, we go back to Edie and Carlos. We find out that Travers is with his dad today. Mm-hmm. So Edie just like kind of wants to spend the day with Carlos, but Carlos, I just gotta go back to work. I have so much work I need to do.
Why does he not like her so much? I just like don't like I they don't know. They don't seem to be incompatible, and she really digs him. I don't see where his like dislike of her is coming from.
I don't know either.
It's very confusing. She's also so hot. Like, mm-hmm. Carlos, what the hell? What? Just, what? No, she's definitely noticing how weird he's being, though, which is good. She's not an idiot. She's something's up here.
Yeah, she's definitely like, something's up, because he also is like, I'm going to take you out for your birthday, and I'll see you then. And her birthday is in 2 weeks. So, yeah, she kind of like...
she's like, excuse me?
Yeah, so she, like, kind of walks away from that conversation, and we can see, like, she knows that something's up. I didn't expect her to do what she did.
I need to say, you know how sometimes we've realized that, like, a lot of the times the show is in line with when it airs? So, like, the dates that the show airs is in line with the general, like, where the show is? This episode aired on May 6th, so in 2 weeks... Do you know what that would make Edie zodiac-wise?
What?
This fits so well. A Taurus Gemini cusp. Are you kidding me? That is so Edie, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm sure that was completely unintentional, but for the zodiac lovers out there, I feel like it makes sense for Edie to be like a Taurus Gemini.
I love that.
My mother's a Taurus. I know a lot of Tauruses.
I know a lot of Tauruses as well.
Oh, but yes, we get an inkling that Edie is going to do what she ends up doing. I also was noticing, like, oh, she's going to use her child, isn't she? But first, before we see all that, we do see that Susan arrives at the mountain where the hot springs are. And this guy is just like, I literally cannot morally send you out to the woods for 2 days with a bag full of face cream and chapstick. And she gets mad, but he's like, hey, I will give you a guide. Meet fucking Calves of Steel Tony, who obviously is the lesbian.
Her name is
of
Tony?
The episode nominee. Her name is Tony with an I.
Yeah, of course she's the lesbian of the episode nominee. Like, of course.
She walked out. I mean, I know that this show frequently loves to use masculine women as a butt of the joke, which is annoying, mm-hmm. but I love those women. So, like, fuck you, Mark Cherry.
Yeah.
I love Tony so much. She was my, I loved this character. And so she is like my only lesbian the episode nominee.
I think it is very, I think it's interesting to see performances that are supposed to be played like as a joke, like a masculine woman trying to be played as a joke. But like her performance was just like, this is just me.
I love her.
Like I love it when the performances are just like, I'm just normal. Like, please.
Please stop being crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean we'll get into it, but I love her just completely like ripping suits on a new one.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. It was great. But we don't get to that because first we gotta go to more drama. Mm-hmm. Tom is taking Rick out on a date and he straight up is like, welcome to my pain chamber. Are you fucking my wife? Which is insane.
Yeah, he's like sweating and crying.
He's scruffy. You know I love scruffy Tom. That's how I could tell the barometer of if I was going to like Tom in this episode or not, is because he's scruffy.
Rick basically flat out says, hey, nothing has happened.
But they have a little pissing contest over Lynette.
Yeah, they whip like, out those
like,
pee-pees
nothing's happened,
right at that restaurant.
But it will. They whip them pee-pees out right on the restaurant. They piss right on that cotton tablecloth. And they spell Lynette's name out. And they go, whoever can spell Lynette's name best with their piss wins her heart.
Oh, my God. real quick, I'm going to cut this. But have you watched John Early and Kate Berlant's new sketch special?
No, I don't have Peacock.
I'll
have to find a way to watch it illegally.
Yeah, or if you come over, I have Peacock. But there's a running bit throughout the show where it's like they pay in melted caramel. And so it's just like, did you bring your melting pot? And it's like they have to like yeah,
they're so insane.
It is wild. I need to watch it again because
I love them.
Cody doesn't really understand like weird absurd humor that much, and so I'm like, I gotta watch it again without them.
I love their humor.
Yeah, sorry, let's go back. Go. Yeah, they have their pissing contest, and Tom says to Rick, "You gotta quit. I can't fire you because it's gonna look like I fired you because I'm jealous, which I am, but I can't give that off because that's this whole show." And then Rick says, "Hey, I'm gonna stay at the restaurant as long as Lynette wants me to, bucko."
Can I tell you my truth?
Say it.
The line where he was saying, he was like, "No, she's, if you stay, she will sleep with you and it will eat her alive." And when he's like, "Yeah, I will stand by her and I will love her just as hard as she'll hate herself for what she did." That line went hard. Yeah. I was like, Tom, what?
He's like,
that was
an
insane line.
He's like, "Yeah, so go ahead. Make a tear in this marriage that will take years to heal."
I mean, I don't think Tom's wrong when he's like, she will be eaten alive by guilt and she won't leave her family. Yeah. And you are just going to hurt this woman, and you're going to get your one night of satisfaction, and then you're going to hurt her. And I'm like, he's not wrong. Just based on how Lynette is as a person. Like, I don't think she would leave her family.
I don't think she would either.
Even under the temptation, no. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, damn, Tom. Tom's going fucking hard right now. Fucking horde right now.
Fucking horde.
Horde.
And then they make out over the table as they fight.
Yeah, I need that fanfic.
Oh, yeah.
The Rick Tom hate fuck fanfic.
And then we go from that very intense scene back to Susan with Tony. And Susan's just kind of been divulging all of her information.
Yes.
And this guide is not putting up with her bullshit.
It's very funny. Like, Tony is completely annoyed. And she just, like, at the part where it's very funny when... when Susan's like, what would you have done, and Tony's like, I would have waited for him.
Yeah.
And Susan's like mad she didn't get the validation she wanted, and she swallows a bug,
and then immediately she's like, well, maybe you should keep your mouth shut and you wouldn't swallow bugs.
I fucking love Tony. I love her so much.
I mean, we
I can't wait
can name
to talk
her
about her scene later. I'm like very down.
Even
she's got to be low.
I don't remember if I have other nominations, but even if I do, she deserves it.
I don't think I do. She was it. She was the apple of my eye. She was all I could really see this whole episode. So that's Tony. Right. And yes, I'm so pumped to talk about her scene later, which I thought was very funny.
Finally, we get a beautiful lesbian of the episode. I feel like it's been hard to like pick out lesbian of the episodes lately.
Yeah, we haven't had many standouts. Yeah. Absolutely. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel, but Tony, she's cream of the crop.
In that bucket.
Bucky. And before we get Tony, we got to go back home, and Travers is playing his Chicken Little video game, and Edie brings home a little puppy, full well knowing that his dad is allergic.
Yeah.
And she's, yeah, trying to use it as a ploy to get Travers to ask for joint custody from his dad.
That is what I did not expect. I mean, like...
It's a bad look. It's a bad look on Edie.
Edie, dogs don't fix relationships, and neither do children.
Edie wants that dick so bad, she's going to manipulate her child's life in order to do it. And I'm like, queen, I'm trying so hard to stand, and yet I cannot stand by this decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't know. Yeah. Don't manipulate your kids. Don't do that.
Hey, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
We did it. We fixed it.
No one will ever manipulate their kids again because we said that.
Finally.
Oh, good Lord.
And then we immediately cut back to Susan and Tony. They're like setting up some camp for the night. Tony says that they should be able to get to like the hot springs by noon tomorrow, which is where Mike mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And they start having a little convo. And Tony calls Susan addicted to drama.
She's right, and she should say
yes.
It.
Call her out.
I loved this. I love when she was like, you can never just let things exist. You don't know how to just be happy and content. You need shit going wrong so that you have something to do. And she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
I love Suze. You know what I mean? Like, I try very hard to stand by her because I think she is, like, overly hated by the fandom. But she is a little drama queen. Mm-hmm. She is a... I agree with Tony in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have complicated feelings about Suze, and I love her, yes. And she also annoys me. But, like, I'm still waiting. I'm still new here.
I love many people that annoy me. Yes. So I can do it for Susan.
Yeah, I kind of loved this. Like, her just, like, getting laid out a little bit. And Tony also tells her, because she asks, like, what do you think will happen if he takes you back? Which he probably will, because it sounds like that kind of thing. She says, Susan just says, like, I don't know, we'll be happy. And
Tony, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like?
And Tony says, like, I don't know if you know how to be happy. What, lady? I'll just put that out there.
This woman's just telling her whole fucking life, and I love that.
And when she wakes up the next morning, Susan's gone.
Her being like, I'm not drama, and then wakes up being drama.
That is fucking funny.
And look, I was going to say this joke later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Her using the last percentage of her phone battery to call Mike's voicemail and not the ranger desk and not to call for help is also drama. Like, girl, she's like 1%. I'll do 0.5% on Mike, 0.5 on help, but no, she's fucking...
This is kind of making me love Susan this episode. This is ridiculous. She's dumb, but
I love her. Yeah, like her literally being like, I might be eaten by a mountain lion to Mike's fucking voicemail that he would get by the time he's driven back to the city. Like, instead of calling for fucking help at the help desk that can get you within a couple hours of the helicopter.
I love Susan. She's so, her priorities are so totally interesting to see. I love them. I love her. Oh my god! I'm going on a journey this episode.
We've come around on Susan. So that's kind of spoiler alert for later in the episode. But I was like, girl, why aren't you calling for help? You fucking idiot. And we cut away from that though. We cut away because basically all we see is, you know, she leaves in the morning. Tony's like, God damn it, this bitch. And then we cut to Gabby and Vern.
The first lady and gay of Fairfield.
The first gay of Fairview. Andrew, step aside.
I mean, he's old. Vern is older than Andrew.
Vern is older than Andrew.
Somebody had to invent it.
Vern did invent being gay.
Yeah, Gabby sees the parking cop and is like, watch this. Hey, little bitch boy. I'm gonna rip up your ticket.
I love that Gabby impression.
Yeah. I'm the governess of Wisteria Lane.
I love how she acts like she's like a fucking queen, like a monarch of the of this like village. And then she starts ripping up other people's tickets as well. She's just like going.
She starts running down the street.
Yeah, and then of course she gets arrested because. Also, I think it's so funny that, like, how did the cops get there so quick? Like, she was just yelling at this man, and then it's like, woo! Like, immediately. Like, were the cops just there already? Like, why? How did that happen?
Oh, yeah, she kicks him, right?
Yeah. He, like, she gets arrested because, like, they're fighting. Well, he also bruises her arm. Yeah, he manhandles her.
That's what I said. I was not expecting that to happen. Like, I was expecting him to just be like, I don't care who your husband is. Like, whatever. Yeah, like, I expected that. I did not expect him to grab her.
No, much like earlier, she should not have been doing what she was doing, but also he should not have grabbed her and touched her in the way he did.
Yeah.
I will kill him. And so will Victor Lang, maybe. Who knows? But first, I'm sorry. What happens? Because I literally just wrote down short scene of Susan being dumb in woods, and I did not write down what happens.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I didn't even write about that scene. I might have missed it.
I think it's literally 30 seconds. So everyone, Susan's dumb in the woods. And then we go to Travers, because neither one of us wrote that down. And he asks his dad for joint custody, and it cuts pretty quickly to Dad and Edie just having a screaming match in her house. Okay, sorry.
Travers gets sent outside, and Carlos kind of sees that, walks over, and when he finds out what's going on, he sends Travers over to his place to like get out of here. And when Daddy leaves the house, I already forgot, isn't Charles? When Charles leaves the house, Carlos just asks what's up. And I love Charles in this scene, because Charles, the whole scene just kind of goes, I just can't understand why she would do this. It doesn't make any sense. Carlos, you get it, right?
Hi.
How are you? I just don't understand why she would do this, man. I just don't get it. Like, every other line was just, I don't get why she would do this. She's never done this before. And then after 5 minutes, Carlos goes, what are you talking about, man? And then Charles goes, she asked for split custody for the first time in 8 years.
She's been happy for 9 years, yeah. This next scene is bonkers to me. Felicity Huffman's acting in this scene is insane to me. Because we cut to the pizzeria. Rick is being weird, and he's like, look, he goes for it. He's like, we had lunch, because he asked if he was cheating. And then he straight up is like, and he's right? Because there's vibes between us, and we want to fuck each other. Like, he just straight up says the unsaid. Yeah. And then Lynette loses her fucking mind. You can go.
She goes, we were flirting, and we wanted to fuck each other, but you were never supposed to say it out loud. She literally says, you've ruined it. And then she fires him. She's like, it is okay to flirt, but when you say it out loud, it turns into something.
And she's
something.
Like so genuinely upset, because it was like the place she was finding like self-confidence, and she was finding herself being wanted in a way that she really needs. And she's very upset that she's losing this flirtation. No man will ever flirt with her ever again. This was it.
Yeah. She was like, I'm sorry. I can't.
It's like, queen, just go to the bar, take off your sleeves, and dance to Boogie Shoes again. I promise you, someone will hit on you.
Yeah.
We need Nina back to bring out Lynette's fun side.
So yeah, Rick leaves, and Lynette sobs.
She does. And then we cut back to the ranger station, where Tony has made it back, and she's... Her and I think the original guy, they're just sort of looking at the map, trying to figure out what area Susan might be in. Like, they're, you know, they're, I don't know if they're like responsible. I'm sure they're legally responsible to get this person back. So like, they're definitely trying to figure it out. Mike comes in to the ranger station because he's checking out. And I did love the fake out of you almost thinking he wasn't going to notice, because he's hearing them talk about this woman, this weird woman who's stuck in the woods. And the second he hears that she's a klutz, he knows exactly who it is. And my heart's on fire.
I love that.
It was cute. Mike looked especially cute in this episode to me. And the ending? Shoo-wee.
When Mike leaves, we get that scene of Susan leaving him the voicemail and then falling asleep under a map.
If I get eaten by a lion, I just want to say that I love you.
Oh my God.
And if you can, send help once you get this message in 3 days.
I love that.
This is where I wrote, I understand the narrative purpose of needing her to call Mike, but her using her last phone battery not to call help is drama. Peak drama. And then we get to another very fucking weird scene.
Gabby was arrested.
Yes.
And Victor is pissed. We are back at Victor's house, I believe, place. And he is yelling at her. He is saying, you embarrassed me. You need to be an adult. He's just saying, like, he just kind of screams at her for a bit. And we kind of finally see some of his true colors. Like,
major red flag.
he has this very public appearance he wants to present, and Gabby doesn't quite fit that with who she is as a person. And now that they're becoming to be, like, in the public eye a bit more, he is not too happy with what she's doing.
No, he was super gross here. And it's so funny because when he finds out the meter maid twisted her arm, they definitely are hinting that he's going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And the way it cuts, the music gets cut so abruptly because it's like creepy, dark music. And then it's immediately done because we cut to the Scava house. Like the they didn't even let us sit in that moment. It was so weird. But yeah, I'm very nervous for what Victor's going to do. He seems like he's... not a good guy. Not as good of a guy as I thought he might have been. And as I said,
yeah,
we cut to the Scavos. Lynette comes home to Tom. She is literally, like, on the verge of tears. She is just, like, she looks so distraught. And Tom is too busy being happy when she says that Rick is quitting. Because he assumes his thing worked. And it's, you know, it's sad because Tom is so excited and it's like, oh, I'm going to come back to work and our life is good again. And poor Lynette goes to the bathroom and uses running water to try and hide the fact that she's weeping. I genuinely ask in this moment in my notes, how are they going to get past this as a couple? Like, they seem, this does not seem good.
It doesn't seem good. She seems like she was really into him and, like, Lynette, maybe you need to reevaluate your marriage and your relationship.
If
you are sobbing like this.
Yeah.
And, like, things haven't really been with, or haven't really been that good with Tom lately as well. And I think you just need to spend some time thinking about your relationship, Lynette.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Tom's coming back to work.
Tom is. We get more pizza dad, Tom.
I wrote in my notes, this sucks, my bros.
It does suck. And this is just like a string of weird scenes to me. Because then we get to this Edie Carlos scene where he asks her about the Carlos, or about the custody stuff. And Carlos points out, like, this back and forth would be bad for Travers. And I think it's really sweet because he's like, I don't think this is in his best interest. And I think you know that. And Edie is like, what about what I need? And I know that, like, she's scared to be alone. And I know that she sees Carlos pulling away. But also part of being a parent is not putting what you need first. It's about putting what your kids need first. And I'm glad that Carlos is being a voice of reason for her in this moment. But it seemed, I couldn't tell the vibe of this scene. Like, his tune seems to have changed completely. And I can't tell if it's genuine because he is now pitying her now that he sees how scared she is to lose him. Or if he genuinely wants to be with, like, I can't tell what's going on.
Well, I mean, like, what I think is going on just from what we've seen before is it's more likely that he just feels bad. And, like, he's kind of pitying her. But, like, that's just my interpretation of it.
No,
but, like, yeah, I get, like, it's a weird fucking vibe that doesn't really make sense.
And, I mean, we have, what, two more episodes, I think, until the season ends, I think. Yeah. And so, like, I'm curious how they're going to, what's going to happen with these two as we go up until the end of the season.
Yeah.
I did get very sad when Edie cries because she's like, I'm going to miss him. Like, Travers. Like, it's interesting to me. I do think she genuinely seems to enjoy the family unit when it's with Carlos because he's a supportive partner who wants to be a co-parent. And I bet that's probably what she was missing with Travers's dad. I'm sure that's why they fell apart. I'm sure that's... And it's interesting. It's like she's finally part of a family unit that feels like it works and she's not going to be able to keep it. Like, so I understand, like, also just missing her son. It's very sad.
And then we get Victor Lang being inducted as the mayor of Fairview, as well as our closing monologue. Do you want to talk about closing monologue?
Yeah, she basically, Mary Alice comes in and repeats that anyone can end up being a victim, and we see that Victor indeed sent someone to rough up the meter guy as he's dancing with Gabby and saying, do you know how much I love you? Which boy oh boy, the bad vibes radiating off that man are a lot. And we also see, you know, Travers leaving with his dad and Edie saying goodbye, Rick leaving the pizzeria, and Lynette going to bed unhappy. And then we get one last moment. Susan wakes up. And Mike is there, baby. And he picks her up. And she's like, I hurt my ankle. And he's like, great. That means I can carry you, baby. And they kiss. And I'm happy.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Muzin. She twisted her ankle.
Muzin is back, baby.
Muzin is
guess
back.
Guess who's back, 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 back again.
Back again. Again.
Muzin's back, back, back. Tell Edie. That's the end of the episode, though. I'm pretty sure it's just that we get that beautiful romance novel shit, and then it's the end of the epi.
Oh yeah,
what a good episode to return on. I had so much fun watching this episode. I am so excited to end this season. I am so excited to get into season 4. I'm so pumped to be back. This was a delight. I know we were a little feral this episode, but it was a delight to hang out with you and talk about this show.
It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was gorgeous. It was
Wisteria Gaze. What do we do now? Do we do the plugs? Do we tell people where to find us? I forget. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've done this podcast.
Me too.
Is that what we do?
I think.
Well, tell us if we're wrong, people, because if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Wisteria Gaze on Twitter, and WisteriaGaze_, which I need to post on more, and WisteriaGaze_ on Instagram, and also WisteriaGaze.com.
And on WisteriaGaze.com, you can also find links to our merch page,
yes,
our Discord,
yes,
and our Patreon.
Yes.
Our Patreon is great. I think we paused it for a bit just because we weren't releasing.
But we're going to be bringing it back and doing more shit on there. Absolutely.
Yes. And it's a $2 minimum. It just helps support us. It helps support the show. And you get some benefits if you support to that Patreon. And those are ad-free episodes. Episode show notes. You can read the feral notes we write while we watch the episodes before we make the episodes. And we've done one of these so far. And you get an episode shout out at the end of every episode.
Yes.
So let's take the next couple seconds to shout out our patrons.
I want to shout out Amanda,
Annie,
Aubrey,
Kaylin,
Cheryl,
Drewzilla LeFay,
Elise,
Aaron,
Helena,
Jade,
Kim,
Lisa,
Liv,
Lydia,
Nadia,
Sarah Schroeder,
Sarah Swihart,
Susan,
Thomas,
Victoria,
and Vincent.
Thank you so much for being our patrons.
I feel like that was more than last time we did it, so I'm sure there's some new people up in the bunch. I was like, this feels long.
Yeah.
So new people, welcome. People who have been here, thanks for sticking around while we've been paused and stuff. We're excited to start bringing more stuff over there.
So if you want to subscribe to our Patreon, you can go to either our website, which is wisteria.gay, or patreon.com/wisteriagaze. You know what I love, Mackenzie?
Tell me what you love.
I love reviews.
Ooh.
Reviews are great. We love reading them. They help other people find the show, which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
And at the end of every episode, we like posing a question to kind of get those review juices flowing for you. And I think the question this week should be, which desperate housewife do you think is most Chicken Little?
Is most like Chicken Little?
Is most Chicken Little. You can interpret that as you would like.
I'm going to go with Susan because she feels... I have not seen the film. I only know that Chicken Little believes the sky is falling and is a little clumsy idiot. So Susan feels like she fits that to me.
I think in the Desperate Housewives cinematic universe, Ashley.
Whoa, deep cut.
It always comes back. It always comes
deep
back to Ashley.
Cut. Where's the spinoff with Ashley?
I don't know.
That should be the reboot.
That's what I was just going to say. Maybe the reboot should follow Ashley. Nobody believed me when I was a kid. There was a mean, rich woman.
Oh, the reboot being Julie? I need it. I need Julie as the main character of the reboot.
We all do.
So when you leave us a review, let us know which character from Desperate Housewives is most Chicken Little interpreted in your way to you.
I mean, other than that, you can find me, Ned, on social media. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Honestly, you kind of can't find me anymore. So yeah. I'm private for friends only on Instagram, and I've decided to delete my Twitter. So,
yay.
I mean, like, it's still there, but like there's nothing on it. So, you know, I've made some recent changes in my life for mental health reasons, and I'm like, I don't want to be on Twitter anymore, really.
Hey, nobody should be on Twitter.
So if you want to find me, if you want to interact, say hi. I am on the Desperate Housewives. Not Desperate Housewives. I'm on the Desperate Housewives Twitter. I'm on the Wisteria Gays social medias, and so that's probably the best place to find me. And it also says hi to both of us, so, you know.
Yeah, I'll start posting weird memes again. All right. Well, Mackenzie, yeah. I love you, Chicken Little.
I love you, Chicken Little.
Everyone else. All those other Chicken Littles out there.
All you little chickies.
All you little chickies. All you little Chicken Littles. Stay juicy.
Stay juicy. Yeah.